February 16th, Shamayan Digi. Shajan Rahasya, second class.
Faith in the words of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Also, Shraddha is synonymous with the Bhakti Lata Beej, or the seed of the creeper. Sorry, not the creeper, the beginning of the creeper of bhakti, which is faith in the words of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, with the turning from being the Vimukh Jiva, or Jiva averse to Krishna, to being, what's the word? Unmukh means turning towards Krishna. So the desire to serve Krishna is the internal manifestation of Shraddha. So those are the three explanations we get for Shraddha. In the first few verses, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that all other methods for attaining perfection, like yoga, meditation, archan, they're very difficult to perform. And if there's any mistake, one does not get the results. Say if there's a mistake in meditation or in the yoga principles, you don't get the attainment. Whereas there's no consideration of faults in the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, and there's continual progress as long as one follows the rules and regulations. That is, what are the rules and regulations? They're described. That is, in the association of devotees, and trying to avoid the 10 offenses, which gradually disappear as one is in the good association. Archan is important because it helps in purifying our conduct, our behavior, our habits, for gradually getting advancement in bhakti. It also helps become free from lust and other impediments. But there's a rule, Srila Gurudev explains in his commentary here in the first few verses. The rule for archan is that it comes to its perfection by the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also explains in these first few verses that whatever was attained in previous ages, in Satya Yuga, the age where people live for 100,000 years, by the performance of meditation, in Treta Yuga, when Lord Ramchandra appeared, and when people lived for 10,000 years, when the process was what? Yajna, sacrifice. In Dwarpa Yuga, when people lived for 1,000 years, when Krishna appeared, and when the principal dharma for the age was archan, or elaborate temple worship, all of the results of all of those processes are achieved simply by the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. There's two kinds of mantra chanting. One is Nam Kirtan, and one is Nam Smaran. And both of them are superior to all other methods of achieving perfection. And Nam Kirtan is superior to Nam Smaran until one comes to the stage of Bhav, when his Smaran is full with his realization of his Siddha Deha, his spiritual form, and he's qualified to meditate purely without imagination on the eightfold daily pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and also experience his own self being engaged in that service. There are three stages of consciousness when one comes to be a jata bhav sadak, or when he's realizing his service in Astakaliya Lila, the eightfold pastimes. One of these stages of consciousness is called internal consciousness, antar dasa, as opposed to dasa. It's not dasa, which means servant, it's dasa, which means stage. Antar dasa, internal consciousness, where he totally forgets this bodily identity and he's completely absorbed in his identity as so-and-so maidservants under the guidance of Rupa Manjari and the other gopis. Then after some time, he loses that internal consciousness and comes to semi-internal external consciousness, where he's still remembering the pastimes but not experiencing himself in it. And he's also not experiencing himself in his external identity. Rather, he's weeping and weeping that that scene and his service in that scene will return. And then there's external consciousness, where he's also feeling intense separation for what he has just seen, but he's able to function within this world. So in the stage of Shraddha, which is the first chapter of Bhajana Rahasya, and the first stage of sadhana, pratham yam sadhana, which is the first period of Radha and Krishna's lila, called Nishanta lila, that is the pre-dawn pastimes of Radha and Krishna, when they're just waking up from sleep. So during that period, the Jatarati sadhak, the bhav sadhak, is meditating on Radha and Krishna, waking up, the maidservant serving them, feeding them some nectar, piyush padika, and the gopis doing arati, and Radha and Krishna pretending to sleep and not paying attention to them, and then Vrinda becoming worried that it's becoming soon sunrise and what to do. So she's engaging all the birds in singing to Radha and Krishna that they should wake up and immediately go home. So that's the meditation during this first pair of the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Krishna, where the Ajata, Rati Sadak, he's doing the first verse of Shikshastaka, which is what? Chedo Darbh. Does everybody have a songbook? If you can kindly bring your songbooks starting tomorrow. And what page is it on? Pages 329. Chedo Darbh Namarjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam Shreya Purva Chandrika Vatadanam Vidyavadu Jivanam Anandam Budivardhanam Pratipadam Purnam Vitasvadanam Sarvatma Snapanam Padam Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. So the first chapter is the first phrase of this first verse of Shikshastakam, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. The Ajata Rati Sadak, those sadaks who are anywhere from Shraddha to Asakti before he reaches the stage of Bhav. He's in Shraddha now, and he's engaged in cleansing the dust of the mirror of his heart by following the bhajan, what is it? When you do the angas of bhajan, following the limbs of bhakti, he's cleansing the dust from the mirror of his heart, gradually becoming free. He's full with anarthas, but he's gradually becoming free. We might as well discuss the anarthas since we're in the first chapter. There are four kinds of anarthas. The first kind is offenses. There are four kinds of offenses.
I'm sorry?
Okay. The first is Swarup Brahm. That is the illusion. Brahm means illusion. About the Swarup, or the form and nature of God. Is he personal? Is he impersonal? What are his characteristics and features? What is the tattva, or fundamental truth, of God? So, his incarnations, his expansions, his energies. But there's a Brahm, an illusion about that. Perhaps he's impersonal. Perhaps he's equal to all the demigods. Or hey, perhaps I'm Krishna. I'm God. As Krishna told Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, it's due to desire to be God and enviousness of God that we came to this material world. That's 7:27 Bhagavad Gita. And then the swarup about myself. I'm in illusion about that, my own swarup. Am I unlimited? Am I this body? Am I this mind? Or am I a jiva? So there's illusion about that. And then there's illusion about the process of attaining perfection. And what is the perfection? Perhaps it's that we all merge and become one, and I'm you and you're me. Or perhaps it's material opulences. So I'm in illusion about the perfection and the process to attain it. Then offenses. Asat Trishna means, asat means temporary, and Trishna means taste. I have a taste for temporary enjoyment in this material world, and also in the heavenly planets. I want godly opulences. So therefore I'll engage in pious activities to attain heavenly planets, or I'll engage in giving in charity so that in my next life I'll be rich. I'll open up hospitals so that in my next life I'll be healthy. Asat Trishna. Then offenses?
Hriday
Durbalya.
Weakness of heart.
Weakness of heart.
Weakness of heart is another section. In Asat Trishna, impersonal happiness. Mukti, impersonal happiness. I have a taste for, I'm so frustrated in trying to enjoy the material world and looking for heavenly enjoyment. There's always miseries in that. So let me just give up my individual identity and merge with the unlimited supreme. Mystic powers. I want pleasure in mystic powers. There are eight kinds of mystic powers. One is I can become lighter than an atom. I can become heavier than a planet. I become lighter like Hanuman. He could fly. So I can fly. I can travel to another planet without the use of a spaceship. I can reach out to another planet and get any fruit that I want. Just like that. I can bring anyone under my control. So in this way, there are various kinds of mystic perfections. Then, offenses. There are four kinds of offenses. One is offense to the holy name. There are 10 kinds of offenses. That is, offense to the pure devotees who are preaching the glories of the holy name is the first offense. Thinking the Lord's names are equal to the demigods' names, or the demigods' names are independent of the Lord's names, is the second offense. Disobeying the orders of the spiritual master and considering him an ordinary person is the third offense. Blaspheming the Vedic literatures or the literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version is the fourth offense. Considering the glories of the Lord to be imaginary is the fifth offense. Committing sin on the strength of chanting. Considering the chanting, the results of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra to be equal to pious activities of going to the heavenly planets and getting godly opulences or mystic powers or horse sacrifices for great wealth. And then preaching the glories of the Lord to the faithless, which is a waste of time. That doesn't mean that we don't go out and preach to non-devotees. It means that if somebody's not interested, the time that it takes to waste and trying to convince that person who keeps coming back with arguments, like so-called Christians, can be better spent in convincing many innocent people who readily accept. And the tenth offense is to maintain material attachments despite hearing so many instructions on the glories of the holy name. So these are offenses to the holy name, and to be inattentive while chanting the holy name. There's offenses to the Dham, 10 kinds of offenses to the Dham, like, for example, considering the Dham a material place. Oh, how dirty. I don't want to go there. It's so dirty. Or offending the residents of the Dham, considering the different living entities of the Dham to be ordinary and offending them. There's offenses to jivas, even hurting any jivas, any living entities by body, mind, or words. That's also an offense. Also offense. So there's four kinds of offenses, and offenses are one of the four kinds of anarthas. So in the beginning stage of bhakti, starting from Shraddha, Chaito Darpana Marjanam, the dust
from the mirror.
Huh? Oh, yes, thank you. The other kind of anartha is Hridai Durbalya. Durbalya means weakness, and Hridai means heart. So there are various kinds of weakness of the heart. For example, hypocrisy. I'm a pretentious devotee. With my words I say something, but with my activities I do another thing. I show that I'm very advanced, I'm very renounced. Like, for example, Gurudev told the story of one neophyte devotee who kept showing off that I'm fasting on all the holidays, like Ekadasi and Janmashtami. I don't touch anything. And I bathe 3 times a day in the Jamuna. Nirjal, I don't drink anything. But when he bathes in the Jamuna, he makes sure to take big gulps of water when nobody's seeing. But what happened was, nobody can hide from Krishna and ultimately anybody. He's always caught. So one day when he was taking a big gulp of water in the Jamuna, a thornfish swam into his mouth, and he started screaming and ran onto the shore and started rolling in pain, and everybody found out about him. So pretentiousness and hypocrisy and envy of others' fortune in bhakti or in anything. So these are four kinds of anartas that are begin to be relieved and disappear at the stage of Shraddha. There is one stage that becomes before Shraddha, which is a very simple word. In one of the early verses of this first chapter, I think it's verse 12, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as we mentioned yesterday, selects various verses to comment on. And one of the verses is a verse by Srila Rupa Goswami, that famous verse that Srila Gurudev always quotes, Ado Shraddha Tito Sadhu Sangha, which gives the various stages of bhakti. So the word Ado is very important. It seems like Ado only means beginning with, Ado. But actually, Ado is very deep. Ado includes millions of lives of collecting Sukritis and doing unknowingly performing some devotional activity and having some connection with sadhus. For example, Gurudev tells the story of one devotee who is in Vrindavan and he's singing Radhe Radhe Radhe, Jai 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 Sri Radhe and Hare Krishna, and he's going door to door begging alms. And in one door, the lady is cleaning with a very dirty, filthy, oily rag. She's wiping cow dung in her room. And so she sees that he's begging alms, and she says, get out of here, and if you come back, I'll eat you.